ありがとうございます。I forgot to bring my bell. I don't know where I place it. Every Tuesday when I finish, I put it into my bag. Today, I can't find. I think it must be on the table. That's why I had to borrow Sui An. This thing. Hopefully, you can magnify. Okay, almost 8:10, huh? We can get ready. Today, who are the one who supposed to light the candle? We wait till Andrian offer the thing. Okay, we let Sui An decide 2 person. Light the candle and the incense. Who is Wing Kiong and? Wing Kiong and wife, Wing Tiong. Okay, you help us to light the candle and incense. Then the rest of us can get ready, Get ready for puja. Okay, we shall start the puja. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. Eh? Then we will start the puja. Can on the fan. So, okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhā, and the virya. Then we will pay respect mindfully. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādhemi. Svākkhāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will commence the puja chanting. Okay, can make offering. Yeah. We rejoice in the latest offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, turn to page 1. We will continue our puja chanting with the chanting of the Vandana, salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinādānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Usawadawiramani sikapadang samadhyami Suramiraya majapamadatana Viramani sikapadang samadhyami We will now chant the Padipa Puja, significance or offering of light to the Buddha. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja Pajana Muttamang Vanna Ganda Gunopetang Etang Kusuma Santatin Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujayami Butang Kusume Nanena Punnena Chetena Samotu Mokang Pupang Mila Yati Yata Idang Me Tata Yati Vinasabhavang Adivase Tunobante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patikan hatu mutamang adivase tunobante pale parikapitang anukampang udadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivase tunobante bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the expiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding in dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition sooner as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we all pay respect to Drupa Jam. Bedang puji. Damang pujehemi. Sanghang pujehemi. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have our meditation. Yeah? Oh, there's somebody new. Oh, your son is here. Oh, what's your name? Oh, good. This name is very common. I used to hear about a lot of this GG around.
Double J.
Double J. There is one politician also, Double J. but that one, pitiful, huh? Passed away last year. So anyway, we welcome you. Please make full use of what you have here to develop whatever understanding and wholesomeness that is available. So make yourself at home. Do not be shy. Later on, if you got any question, you can ask. If you don't understand what we do, also you can ask. Maybe I will explain a little bit. What we are having here is a Thursday class meditation come Dhamma sharing session. So the meditation that people are interested in is the one that is taught by the Buddha. And this is the meditation that can bring about wisdom, leading to understanding of who you are, what you are, and life. When you understand who you are, what you are, then only you can understand others. Then when you can understand others, you will understand the world. You will understand life. Then you will know how to live life. Otherwise, you don't know who is living your life. If you don't even know who you are, then who is living your life? Most living beings who don't understand who they are, they live life based on what the thought tells them. Your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. And this is what you have, and you think this is you. So if you deludedly believe that, then you can never understand life. That's why you will have a lot of what they call mental suffering. Then later on, physical suffering, bodily suffering. Then because your consciousness is trapped inside, you will also be affected mentally. So mental suffering is very, very crucial. You don't have this teaching, this understanding that the Buddha has shared with the world. It is not easy to cope with life. Maybe while you are young, you may not understand its significance because life to you is fairly beautiful all the way since birth until now. You are born normal, you don't have problem, you got good parents to look after you. Then you don't seem to confront many of the realities that older people went through. But as you go through life, you will experience them. And there are eight realities that each and every living being has to experience. The Buddha said, you have to grow old, you have to get sick. One day you will get sick, not only you have to get sick. Then finally, there is such reality as death. So birth, old age, sickness and death, these are the four realities that each and every living being has to confront if you live long enough. Then as you come out to work into society, you will meet with a lot of problem situation that demands understanding to resolve. So the Buddha said, when you are with people whom you don't like, you will also suffer. When you are threatened with separation from your loved ones, whom you love so much or you care for so much. Separation can happen in many ways. through death or accident or even calamity, nature's disaster, then sometimes even crime, like snatch thief and all those things, robbery, kidnap. Then there's also relationship separation leading to divorce, leading to relationship breakdown. You get jilted or people dump you or you dump people. Either way, you cause suffering. Then there is also much more suffering related to the physical body, like your health problem. You have this fear when you are confronted with disease. Sometimes it could be very traumatic. Nowadays, it's very common to hear about people having cancer, very young people. Then heart attack, HIV, stroke. Then a lot of other very unique and very rare illness and disease. So this year alone, we got two university men. They just died. One of them was heart attack. The second one was, I think, stroke within a gap of less than 2 months, I think, or 1 month plus. And they are not old, about 62 or 62 plus. Then earlier on also, quite a number of classmates had passed. So life is full of this type of situation. Then we have seen, we have witnessed how our forefathers, our parents, our grandparents, how they go through old age sickness, and some had to confront with death. When faced with such situation, can you cope? Can you understand? Can your mind remain at peace? Then when you go out to work, when you meet out with bosses that don't understand you or purposely very harsh to you, give you a lot of pressure, management by harassment and fear. They harass you to deliver and they put fear into you if you don't deliver. So all this can become very stressful. Then sometimes at home, your relationship with your parents, your brothers, your sister, and your good friend or closely related people may not work out well. Then you find it so difficult to be at peace with them, especially relationship failure. So all this can bring about a lot of mental agony and suffering. Then some people, even though quite young or fairly young, they go into depression because they are so sad, so unhappy, so fearful. So every time you make mistake, you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. When you are confronted with a problem that you don't understand, your mind is afflicted. So this is why people come for meditation, because they have problems. This teaching, which the Buddha taught, and this meditation is very unique. It not only can bring about understanding to allow you to overcome all your problems, it can bring about the understanding that can make you completely different. It can transform you personality-wise, character-wise, and transform you into a very beautiful human being or living being who can really understand life and live life to the fullest. Your mind can always be peaceful, cheerful, happy. You don't have to become unhappy, miserable. Whatever happens, you don't have to suffer. And that is why this teaching is very unique. So the Buddha said, if you learn this teaching and meditate and awaken, you can become enlightened in the here and the now before you die. Then you get to live the beautiful life, a life that is free of all suffering, mental suffering, physical suffering, where nothing in this world or this universe can affect you. You are always peaceful. Your mind is very calm, very tranquil, very still, and there's a lot of understanding. So there is a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. You can appreciate life. You can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. You can be with the moment, with a beautiful mind state that can bring about a lot of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. To be with nature, to be with life. So these are the advantages or benefits of cultivating this meditation. And in Pali, they call it vipassana. Vipassana is translated as insight meditation, insight, not inside, where you develop insight, wisdom to awaken. So the Pali word for vi is different. The Pali word for vi is stand for the characteristics of nature. According to Lord Buddha, is in our universe, every phenomena that you come to experience, may it be physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they all exhibit the same universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering, non-self, and empty nature. The Buddha called it anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta in Pali. So when you can have the ability to silence your mind and insight into these universal characteristics of nature, it will completely transform you and allow you to understand the whole universe, the whole of phenomenal world within this universe clearly. And you will not be deluded by it anymore. Even your own form and mind or so-called human being, you will understand it very clearly. That this is not you, karmically conditional as a vehicle and tool for you to come to this planet, to live life, to cultivate, to train yourself, to develop all of the understanding so that you can understand life. But many human beings, they don't have such affinity or such good condition. They came into existence mainly to pay back their coming debt. At this time of being, they suffer. The Buddha said they are the heedless one. The heedless are as if they got no chance of salvation. They don't have spiritual understanding. They don't have Dhamma, which is the teaching of the Buddha. So because of that, they cannot understand life. They cannot understand what is going on. And every time, they are very confused. Then when confronted with situation, they always become very unhappy, depressed. Then the question, why me? Why is God so unfair? How come people can have all this? I can't. All these are your thought telling you, because you don't have wisdom, you don't have understanding. And all these thoughts are wrong thoughts, make you more miserable, lead to division, cause you to compare and become miserable, afflicted. Then you always think the whole world is unfair to you. God also is unfair to you. Nobody is fair to you because of your own selfishness. But you never think for others. You never feel for others. You expect people to feel for you, think for you, love you, care for you. But have you ever loved people, care for people? Have you ever give back to society, to nature? You just come and take everything. You take what your parent has given you for granted, their love, their sacrifice, their care. When you are born into this world, you know how much suffering they went through. Then they have to raise you up, provide you with proper education, feed you, give you a head start off, a proper shelter over your head in time of danger, difficulty. They are the ones that protect you, care for you, sacrifice for you. And when you are sick, they care for you. They did so much thing for you. But in return, what did you give to your parents? You get angry with them. You throw tantrum at them. You blame them. This is what children of modern society does, because of their delusion and selfishness. They don't have gratitude towards their parent. They don't have filial piety towards their parent. They never think of how much their parent has sacrificed for them. So likewise, later on, as you go through life, when you become parent, you start to recall how your parent actually care for you and sacrifice for you. Then only you have that love for them, but by then it's too late. They are already very old. They are already very sick. And some of you who are lucky, they live long enough for you to care for them, to repay their gratitude and kindness. But some parents, they young, they die young, earlier. You want to do, also you don't have a chance to do, we are by then too late. So at early age, you understand this, you have a lot of condition and opportunity to do what you can do to them. And when you repay them, your gratitude and your, what they call, love, it bring about so much joy and happiness in them. That is what you can do to help out. When you can bring about love and joy and happiness to your loved one, especially your parent, you actually reap a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of blessings, merits, so that in future, when you get old, you will have children and grandchildren who will care for you, love you, provide you with all the joy and happiness. So all this is what the nature's law is. The Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So if you learn this nature's law early, you will know how to live your life. You will not be selfish anymore. You will not be deluded and heedless anymore. You will understand what it means by to be kind, to be loving, to have filial piety, to have gratitude, to have kindness, goodness, and gentleness. When you are good and beautiful, character-wise, personality-wise, everybody will like you, will love you, and your life is beautiful, where what you have given to others will come back to you. But if you are the opposite, selfish, violent, couldn't care less, heedless, do a lot of deceitful things, selfish things, then always take advantage of situation, never contribute towards the household, towards society, only care for yourself. That selfish attitude will bring about a lot of negativity in you, and all this can bring about downfall. Where nature's law is, when you have this, the Buddha call it the evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil, make you selfish, make you violent, make you deluded, and you simply do things that hurts people, bring about so much suffering. Your parents love you so much, sacrifice so much for you, care for you, and in return you scold them, you throw tantrum at them, you blame them. How do you feel when you are in their shoe? They really will be heartbroken unless they have the Dhamma. Then they respect you for what you are. Then they have you go your own way. But they have a duty towards you, to guide you, to explain all this to you. But your life, whether you want to follow or not, is entirely your choice. That's why the Buddha said we have to choose wisely. If we choose to be wise, we will be beautiful. If you choose to be heedless, selfish, and have all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, that is your choice. Then don't blame anyone for your suffering, for your misery, when things hit back. So this is a very simple explanation of what we are doing here, why we are here to train our mind to meditate. Then according to the Buddha, the reason why we are not peaceful, not happy, is because we have not trained our mind, and our mind has a lot of mental hindrance. You look at the whiteboard, the first chart on your extreme, yours is on the left. These five are called mental hindrance. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepiness of mind, then restlessness of mind. born of fear, worry, anxiety. That's why it's not peaceful. Then when you are not sure about life, you cannot understand life, you have doubt. So this fine mind state, it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. That's why here in meditation, we are here to train our mind to arise the opposite five. The Buddha called it the spiritual faculties. They will strengthen your mind. They bring about special mind quality that can allow you to understand his spiritual teaching. That's why they are called spiritual faculty that can understand the spiritual teaching as taught by the Buddha. So when you have them, it will counter the five hindrances. All the five hindrances will cease. Yeah. So this five spiritual faculty, the first one is faith, sadda, or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. In layman's term, it's like you are confident in yourself. You have faith and confidence in your ability. That's why there is an English saying that says, when you are confident of yourself, half the battle is won. Even you go for exam, you will do well when you are confident. So faith is a more stronger mind state than the worldly way of developing this confidence. It is a spiritual faith. Confidence that come about after understanding clearly who is the Buddha, how special a being he is, and how wonderful this teaching can actually bring about great transformation in yourself and the individual, so that every living being who can understand his teaching, they will become beautiful. So this is why that faith can become very strong when you start to understand that the Buddha is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in enlightenment. And you can see at the time when he was born into this universe, he was the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. Better than all the gods and higher beings. So what is more important is when your faith develops, because you understand how special a being he is, then you will have great respect and gratitude towards him. Because this type of teacher are very rare, very difficult to find, difficult to come about. Somebody who understands the secret of life that can allow you to understand life so clearly and transcend all of the problems of life, and it can bring about awakening, enlightenment, so that you can fully understand life and become beautiful, so that you don't have to suffer. So that faith will drive you to cultivate this Dhamma or teaching that he has taught us. And that spiritual zeal or drive is the second spiritual faculty. When you understand the importance of this cultivation, this teaching, you will go all out to train your mind to do it. So the second spiritual faculty is virya, or this spiritual tenacity and zeal to go and cultivate this teaching. Then the third spiritual faculty is the silent mind. They call it sati, or mindfulness. When you are without thought, just mindful or aware, that mind is the meditative mind. That mind can understand many, many things. So you have to train. That's why we are here, to train ourselves to have this type of mind. Okay? So I will teach you how to train. Then later on, when you stabilize that mind that you have trained, it becomes samadhi, collected and unwavering. That's why it will not stir, it will not waver, it will not arise the duality of mind state, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. It will just stay collected, unwavering. That's how you can see things as they are and understand truth clearly. Your mind can awaken. Then the last spiritual faculty is wisdom. When you can see things as they are clearly, not through your brain, not through your mental conditioning, not through your views and opinion that interpret, then you have wisdom. Then you see things as they are and you understand how they arise and how they pass away, how they condition living being into negativity, leading to all the suffering. Then how, when there is wisdom, understanding, you know how to use them, your thought process, to give rise to understanding and wisdom that will condition your right thought, right speech, right action, and give rise to a lot of right view, you will straighten your view. Then you will not be deluded like before. You will not grasp, not cling, and you will not entangle yourself anymore. Then you have more and more understanding that lead to more and more peacefulness of mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, happy mind. Then you will have a lot of virtue, a lot of gratitude, a lot of what they call contentment. Then all this will lead to a lot of wholesomeness, blessing. Then you will understand life beautiful. Okay. So this is what the spiritual faculties can do to you. Then the mental hindrance will cease. Then your life will transform. Okay, now we are off the light. Then I will teach you how to train your mind to develop this spiritual faculty. Just now when we were doing the puja, we already developed some spiritual faculty. Because when we pay respect to the Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, we recall to mind his great wisdom and virtue. That will strengthen our faith. Then after that, when you make all this puja offering, is to remind us of his teaching. The light symbolizes awakening of mind. It illuminates our mind, dispel it from darkness, overcome all ignorance, develop clarity. Then the clear water symbolizes the pure, cool, clear mind. That's why you have to purify it, so that there is no defilement. Like this clear water, when it's without dirt, without pollution, without pollutant, it is beautiful, clear, crystal clear. Our mind is the same. If you purify and train it, it will be beautiful. It will have that clarity. It will be very still and tranquil. Then the incense is, of course, to let you understand that you must train yourself, like your morality, your virtue. They will shine forth far and wide, just like this incense. Means you really have this quality in you. Then the flower signify impermanent generosity. Then you will strive on with heedfulness, just like this body is not going to last you that long. The flower is a very good example where it's ephemeral. It decays very fast. Then it will lose its beauty, its youthfulness. Your physical body is the same. As you go through life, you see it decaying, except your physical body, the process is slower. The flower is very fast. That's why it gives you instant awakening of the impermanent nature of all things. Flower is ephemeral, not stable. Very quickly it decays. Then it will fall apart. It will drip. Then it will go back to nature. So just like this body, it goes the way of nature. It will experience old age, sickness and death, like the flower, except the flower is a lot faster. Then we offer fruits, remind us of karma. You reap what you sow. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the seed of evil. You plant the seeds of virtue, wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of virtue and wholesomeness. So whatever you do to people, it will come back to you. If you are kind to people, people will be kind to you. If you have love, there will be love fruiting. But if you are evil, selfish, deluded, full of emotional negativity, then whatever you do to people, you cheat, you deceive, you harm, you kill, in future when there is condition, law of karma will develop the friction of it. you will become the victim. People will cheat you, deceive you, harm you, kill you, and cause a lot of suffering and misery to you. Then you don't ask why. How come people are like that? Why is the world like that? How come God is so unfair? When you do to people in your previous life, you never ask this question. Now, the friction of karma come. You keep on resisting and trying to question. So this teaching can open up your mind and make you different, so that you will never violate this nature's law of karma. Means you will avoid all evil following the advice of the Buddha. Then cultivate goodness and wholesomeness. That's why you must have a lot of right thought, right speech, and right action. You must have a lot of gentleness, kindness, pleasantness, generosity, sincerity, gratitude, and love towards others, filial piety. Then you must be of service to the world, a blessing to all. Wherever you can contribute towards your family, your society, the environment, you should do. Because when you take care of environment take care of you. You take care of your family take care of you. So all these are nature's response. Goodness begets goodness. Evil begets evil. So never be heedless and foolish. Keep the precepts. Don't violate the precepts. The five precepts are the minimum that you must hold. Because these are the, what they call moral code, which the Buddha has found out. People who violate these precepts, they are evil people. Their life will suffer, evil lead to downfall. So the first precept is killing and causing harm to fellow living being. So the Buddha say, who kill and who cause harm? Violent people, deluded people, foolish people, selfish people. That's why people with the evil roots, they will do this. And when you do this to people, when you cause harm, cause death, in future when you come, you will become the victim. People will do back all these things to you. That's why snatch, thief, all those things. The last time you did to people, now people do it to you. Robbery and all those things. Then when you cause suffering to fellow living beings, or even animals, living things, in future, you will become the victim. You will end up going through the suffering and affliction. And it can be very, very traumatic when it comes, especially if you have committed a lot of those things. Then this will be your karmic friction. So meditation can help you understand all this and reverse all this through an understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence. So now I will teach you how to train your mind. Okay, relax body and mind. Maintain a stable posture. Then close your eye. Make sure your backbone is straight. I will teach you a skillful means to help you overcome your mental hindrance, so that your mind will become more calm and more peaceful. We call it the mind sweeping method. Close your eye, maintain attention at your forehead. Feel, don't think, just feel. Relax everything. You can detect any tightness or any stress within. You just relax, relax, and relax them all. Feel your forehead muscles soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same, feel, relax them all. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within you, relax them all. Mindfully relax them all. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Feel, relax everything. Make sure your entire facial muscle is soothingly relaxed. And you are peaceful. You don't think, that's why you just feel, relax. You will be more peaceful. Then in order to assist you further, I will teach you how to radiate loving kindness to yourself. You can first visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy, there is happiness. So naturally, your facial muscles will relax. Then you radiate loving kindness or metta to your own self. This will bring about inner well-being. So the mind sweeping method will bring about inner peace. Then metta or loving kindness will bring about inner well-being. So this inner peace and inner well-being are very beautiful mind state that you start to train. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, may I, you must feel your entire body and mind, your entire being, each and every cell within. Be well and happy, well, feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cell of your entire physical body and mind state, so that your entire being is engulfed in this wholesomeness of mind. Then you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your own entire body and mind, your entire being. Then you start to radiate this love. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it without physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it be peaceful and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your heart. Then you can radiate this same metta or love to your loved ones. May all my loved ones, including my parents, my brothers, my sister, my good friend, and those people whom I care for, love for, may they all too be well and happy too, well and happy, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you radiate the same metta to all beings within this vicinity. May all beings within the vicinity of Subhangjaya, known and unknown, seen and unseen, together with all Kayanamitas who are also meditating here, be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind state still, be without enmity, without ill will and unhappy. May they keep themselves peaceful and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you extend this same metta to all beings within the entire universe. May all beings within the whole of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our solar system, our Milky Way, our galaxy, then the whole of this universe. May all beings within the entire existence to be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves peaceful and happy always. May they all too be well and happy always. May their mind states too be without selfishness, without greed, without delusion, free from all the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then may there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Right now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Just feel, relax everything. Then move your attention or awareness to your neck. Feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, do the same, feel, relax. Then back to shoulder. Then you move your attention to your chest area or your heart area. Just feel, silent everything and feel. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration within. You just silent your mind and stay there. But if you are new, you can't, it's okay. You just feel them like you feel your forehead. If you can detect any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it soothingly relax. Relax into every part of it. Feel it. Relax, relax and relax. Then you move this awareness or mind down to your stomach. Feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and peaceful because you don't think, you only feel and relax. You can reverse the whole of this mind sweep method from your leg, feel, relax, buttock, feel, relax. Then your abdomen, feel, relax, stomach, feel, relax. Your heart area, do the same, silent everything and just feel. And relax into it. Then you move your attention back to your shoulder, hand back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then your neck and facial muscle, feel, relax them all, smile and joy. Then facial muscle leading to eye muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you silence your mind to meditate, to stabilize this peacefulness of mind, silent mind, the inner peace and inner well-being. If you don't have a technique or a method or a skillful means to anchor this mind, then I will teach you Anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So you maintain attention in front of your nostril field. When you detect your breathing, then just like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, your mind is aware. Then breathing out, your mind is aware. Just maintain awareness of the in and out breath. You just have to silence everything and allow the mind to detect. Then the breath and the mind move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony without thought. Initially, if you are new, not familiar, the mind will wander off very fast. Before you can maintain attentiveness or awareness on the breathing, it will just wander off because you are being heedless for quite a while. So be patient, don't worry. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Expect the wandering mind to happen many, many times before you can train it. So every time it wanders off, you bring it back. If you are patient, not long, within 5-10 minutes, this Anapanasati will stabilize. The awareness of the in and out breath will become very clear. Then you will become very peaceful, very calm. Then you experience what they call PT. PT is a very calm mind state, a spiritual calmness born of training the mind in mindfulness or awareness. It's also very soothing, very calm. Sometimes they call it spiritual rupture. You feel good, calm, peaceful. So PT, when it arises, you just acknowledge it, mindful of it, relax into it and silent. Then as you relax and silent and train your mind to be more refined, PT will transform and become sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss. Your mind becomes so blissful, so still, so quiet, so tranquil. Then as you continue to relax into it, even this bliss will come to pass. Then your mind becomes very quiet, very subtle, very tranquil and very still. And this is what we call pasati, the meditative mind, the silent mind, the mind that is in stillness, tranquil, silent within. And this is the mind that you aim to develop. Then with that mind, your meditation becomes very simple. You can become quiet, peaceful, and still on its own. Later on, you can even relinquish your breathing, your object of meditation. You don't need them anymore, because your mind is already in sati, having this sparsity. The mind is naturally aware, tranquil, and still. It will stay there. And wherever you locate, this mind is very sensitive, very peaceful, very quiet, very still. And it has the sensitivity to detect many, many things. So that time you go back to your breathing, the subtle breathing will become clear to you again. So this is how you will train your mind. So I will ring the bell after about 5 to 10 minutes. Then you can come out of it. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. Put yourself in up slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. This trained mind state, you have to carry it out into your daily life to cultivate daily mindfulness. That is the ultimate meditation, the real meditation. Can now we will chant the invocation to the Deva, turn to page 6 of the chanting book. I will read to you all the English translation. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijjacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Tadeva Manosanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanaiko Pachatang Viditambo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us be respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and other worthy ones. Then we also salute the Triple Gem. Bhutang Pujyemi. Dhammang Pujyemi. Sanghang Pujyemi. And you pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the holy ones. Okay, you can be seated. So tonight I was told by Sian they are flying off to Wat Na Long tomorrow morning. They have to go to Kiai too. Then tonight we also have I think two birthday cake. I don't know which one is the one that you all use for Ingvi's birthday yesterday. Or three. So tonight we will end early, 10 o'clock, so that you can have your whatever. Then Suya and Mifong, they all, together with Susan, can have a good early rest so that tomorrow they can be more fresh to go to Son Pa and Wat Na Long to prepare the year-end trip for a group of Kamitas who are going with them. So I really rejoice with all the wholesomeness. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And this trip will be very significant because they will plan many of the things for you during the October spiritual trip. So it comes about, you are not wrong. 3 years ago, I think, Longpo Tongbai, was it Tongbai? They promised. He agreed and promised to allow Brother Suyan and Mifong to offer that robe. It seems he only received one robe every 3 years, and they have the good condition to have that consent. So that's why they have been preparing for this, and there was so much joy when they first received it. And me too, rejoice, because this type of condition can only come to people who are sincere, have the faith and good parami. Otherwise it won't. That's why when you cultivate, when you go into this spiritual path, you will come to understand later, nothing happened by chance. The great beings, they know. And the condition can only manifest if you are sincere, you have the faith. So all these are very wholesome. Then conditions just arise. Then they plan the thing. Then now it has become almost a reality. So there was so much joy. And so many of you have signed up. I hope you all can develop the faith further. Then together with this wholesomeness, blessing and condition, it can bring forth greater condition for you all to walk the path of Dhamma. Then after that, I think 1-2 weeks later, we had another trip, Anandagiri, Dekatina, co-sponsored by Malaysian and Thai. So this one we have to thank Joyce and the organizing group, I think Sito, Michael, they all. So they will organize another one, which is our almost annual Katina at Anandagiri. Almost every year since the year we came to know Achan, I think that was 5 years ago, if I'm not wrong. Joyce, was it 5 years ago? 2000, 2011. So this is our fifth year. Then every year, Joyce will either make the request on behalf of Kanyamita or the individual. And for two occasions, I think Joyce took it up. Then this year, another Kanyamita took it up. Of course, everybody can also chip in and get to partake in the wholesomeness. So when the spiritual trip is organized, there will be a common pool where they do all this donation and offering. And you can make your offering. Then all can get to partake. Okay, Tafan will also donate towards all this spiritual trip. That's why no matter what happens, if you are part of the Kanyamita, you already have the wholesomeness. So we should learn how to rejoice, whether you join the trip or you don't join the trip. You have already partake. So this is some understanding that I hope you all can develop. Then this coming Tuesday, the next week, there will be a special puja at my house, the usual Tuesday class, to mark the special occasion of the taking of the Bodhisattva vows together with the making of aspiration to walk the path of Dhamma, so that it can strengthen your cultivation. Then it can also help you develop the real faith together with affinity and resolve and determination to have this type of understanding life after life when you arise. And last Tuesday, I already explained the significance of this Bodhisattva cultivation. What constitutes the Bodhisattva way and how it can actually help cultivator to develop great wisdom. Very stable understanding so that you can awaken very much faster. And as you do this work, your understanding becomes different. You have the ability to teach because you understand and penetrate all dhammas. Otherwise, you only know how to realize the essential truth to awaken your own nature, but you cannot teach because it's not easy. The real understanding of the universal law, or what they call the spiritual law that governs life and existence, especially law of karma, they are very complex. Only Sammasambuddha and the great beings who have penetrated all dhammas and cultivation can develop the understanding, because everyone is different. Each and every one of us, we are all very, very different because we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma, and we are all what we are because of our karma. So we have taken birth over the eons and eons and eons of birth and death. And you all are so different in your conditioning, your background, your understanding and other things. So that's why no two persons' karmic nature can be the same. Then each and everyone, depending on your cultivation and your understanding, you will have your own delusion, heedlessness and negativity of karmic conditioning from the past. Then when this all come to friction, the karmic obstruction, the karmic obstacle, the karmic friction of what you do, they will come back to you whenever there is condition, life after life when you arise. That's why you see every living being is so different. Most of them suffer tremendously when they come to this existential world or this universe. To be born, actually to be born as human being, you are considered lucky. This is a happy rhyme, Sana. They call it Kama Loka Sukati. Kama is not the karma, K-A-M-A, karma is the sanctuary, loka is the world of the sanctuary, of happiness, sukati. So you come to this happy realm of the human realm. By right, you shouldn't be suffering. Yeah, it's a happy realm. Only the four woeful states, they are the karma dukkati, karma loka dukkati, means the sensual realm of suffering. You have the hell realm, of course, that one you know, they suffer tremendously. Then you have the petas, the non-human, the hungry ghost. That one also, they suffer tremendously. Then you have the animal realms, you know, animal, at the mercy of many things. Because they are born as animals due to their delusion. The peta are born as peta or hungry ghosts because of their greed. Then the hell beings, they are born in the hell because they have all the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. The other two realms, they have one evil root plus delusion. Then you got the demon realm. The demon realm got a lot of anger, hatred, violence, and delusion. That's why above the hell realm, you take birth by virtue of your stronger evil roots. You have very strong emotional negativity, angry, anger, hatred, jealousy, and other things. Then you will take birth as what they call demons, demons. Then you will also take birth as animal if you got a lot of delusion, stupidity, fear, heedlessness. That's why animals, even as food for human beings, before they die, they have a lot of suffering, a lot of fear. And through delusion, they end up taking birth there. That's why they say animal rhymes are like that. Then those who have greed, selfishness, who cheat and deceive, they are born as hungry ghosts. Hungry ghosts, they suffer so much because even when food offered to them, they cannot eat because of the karma. All this food will become like red hot boiling, molten rock and fire. So it's burning, burning. Then, as hungry ghosts, you got very limited condition. You cannot like our world, the human realm, where you can work and get a salary, or you can go and become a farmer, got plowing, got harvesting, or you can do business, got trade, bartering and all things. In the what they call hungry ghost realm, pitta realm, no such thing, no career, no job, no farming, no plowing, no business, nothing. And they somehow gullibly go and print hell notes sent down by billions. You think they can receive? If they can receive, then no need you. they no need to work. Then everybody prefer to die and take birth at peta realm, hell realm. Your relative all burn billion. You overnight instantly billionaire. Then you want handphone, they burn. You want bungalow mansion, they burn. You want handphone also, they got, they send to you. Hopefully you can also WhatsApp with them. I tell you, it's all crazy, delusion, right, and ritual. So when you understand all this, you tell yourself not to be born in those woeful states. But then I used to tell Kayanamita, even if you are born there, you don't worry. Because every time they transform area, idang mi nyati nang ho tu, you fatal already, you come out very fast. They can only receive merits and wholesomeness through this, through offering to the triple gem, the sangha, to the cultivator. Then when they share this type of spiritual merits, only they can receive. And it has to come from departed one's relative. You must be related to them in some way. That's why as Kayana Mita, you got a lot of opportunity and you receive. But the trouble with Kayana Mita is you are a true, genuine Kayana Mita. You will never take birth down there. Understand? So it's like they say, you think Kayana Mita lucky, so you want to have the fate like Kayana Mita, but you don't behave like Kayana Mita. That's why you end up taking birth there, those people who are heedless. Then those Kayana Mita who know that they are safe, they cannot take birth down there, understand? Unless you are a bogus one, not serious one, then you do a lot of nonsense, then nobody can help you. But if you are sincere to some Kayana Mita, maybe when you happen to be there, very fast you come out. So you don't worry. Okay, tonight maybe we open up as usual. I got half an hour left. Oh, less than half an hour, 20 minutes. Anybody wants to report your meditation or ask any question related to meditation or the teaching, you can. Now we open up. Anybody? Just put up your hand. As usual, very quiet. Maybe we ask Irene Sun. JJ. You got nothing to ask. How do you feel? Miserable. Oh, more relaxed. But you cannot get to do your things. Your handphone you didn't bring. Oh, yeah, your pocket. Well, you dare not use. Oh, don't worry, next time you use. But you can spend time listening. It will be useful for you without you knowing it. Then later I give you a little bit. I think one or two books enough. The rest you can get from your mom if you are interested. Seminar book as well. You go and read this seminar book. Then if you are interested, you see your mom. This is a seminar book I delivered in Bangkok, the World International Fellowship of Buddhists and World Fellowship of Buddhists, together with the Mindfulness Center in the year 2013 August. It was a World Buddhist Conference. We went there. I was invited to deliver one of the speech in the talk, and it's all now in a book form. So you read through, you will have a general understanding of this teaching, which is very useful, very helpful. Although very thin, but full of gem inside it. Money cannot buy. So hopefully it will help you. This is our gift to you. Okay. Yes. Pass the mic to Michelle.
Brother, yeah. You were talking about the realms of the demons, the hungry ghosts, right?
Yes.
I want to ask, can they actually harm the human? You know the story of how people being possessed, this kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just want to know about that.
Yeah. You see, during the Buddha's time, people also ask him all these type of questions. That's why he came out with a sutta. He called it the Tirukkuda Sutta. Tirukkuda Sutta is about petas. The sutta talk about all these hungry ghosts, peta. So there are certain things that you must do. Because they are still deluded in the sadha. Then in that rhyme, they can see you. You cannot see them unless you got special eye. Or you got certain, I don't know whether to call it affinity or soy. And you can see them is what? Chances are either you are about to die, feel your vibration same, that's why you can see them. That is one possibility. The other one is because in the past you have practiced the energy field psychic. Then you learn how to see them. So this life come, you retain the ability. That's why you can see them. quite a number of yogi who have that type of past training, they have that ability. Then the Buddha said, if you don't know how to like express your gratitude towards them and recall to mind what they have done for you, their spirit are not at peace. Understand? Not at peace means what? They are like our society, you know. Let's say you come from a small town. Then you have children, other family also have children. Then all the children, most of them one by one, go to big city to work, understand? Then they are the one that is left behind. So these are the people who are like in the pitarai, understand? Because they give you all the things. Then after that, you forget about them when you become rich, wealthy, or you become successful, because you don't want your parents' background, which is in a small town, very poor, to reflect badly on your career and your future wife or in-law. So all this happened. Then what happened? They will start to listen to a lot of families, say, oh, your children got sent money to you or not, got invite you down there to like spend a holiday there or take you for good trip overseas, dinner or what. You hear other people got, yours don't have. What happened? You become unhappy. You think until you get angry. How can this guy do this to us as parents? We sacrifice so much. Then you take the trouble to go and visit them. Then finally you found out they got big bungalow, got driver, got chef, chauffeur and all those things. And yet when you ting tong, he don't want to recognize you. What happened? You're sure angry at them. Then your hatred, your anger will make them not peaceful. So this pitta also same. When you don't know how to express that gratitude and help them do merits and all things, they will come after you. They will come to your house. That's why you will feel the eerie feeling and all that. I read to you, you know. It's in the sutta, very interesting. Brother Tay around, he can remember the page. I cannot remember the page. Oh, God. Oh, wow, you are lucky. 189. Tirukuda Sutta, huh? Those who are reborn as unfortunate peta beings or spirit because of their greed, their craving, their selfishness and attachment to their property in past life, to their loved ones and all those things, will return to their house and create an eerie atmosphere while lingering beyond the door. You think after your, especially daughter-in-law, after your mother-in-law passed away, why you go and celebrate? Then go and say all those things. You think they don't hear you? They hear every word you say. Then you will be in trouble. Then the Buddha said, they yearn for human food, but because of their past karma, their living relatives neglect them. They neglect to make offering to them because they don't have that dhamma. Understand? Then they neglect to express the gratitude towards them. Because when you express that gratitude, they can hear you. You think my reading so difficult? You become pitta, automatic you can read my beyond language. Whatever word they use, not important one, you can read direct from the mind. So this one, the Buddha say, only those who are compassionate, therefore, they will remember their departed relatives and make offerings such as almsgiving in their name. By the wholehearted transfer of merit, that's why you transfer merit after making offering to the Sangha, the Triple Gem. Then the spirits or these petas will gratefully wish for their well-being of their living relatives who perform this meritorious deed and express their gratitude. and all these things. That's why they should remember the betas or spirits of their departed relative who are not at peace with themselves and gather in many places. That's why you have to. That's why you have this traditional Chinese culture, which is not bad. They have the ancestor tablet, understand not, to remember them. That's why they call it the ancestor's tablet. Then they will pay respect, make offering to them, invite them to come into the house so that they have a place of dwelling. Otherwise, outside, they have to look for dwelling. Sometimes they want to dwell in a tree, but the tree already got the three devas. They won't let you come near. Then you ask them to always stay at the cemetery because they are petas. They don't know where to go. So all this can actually bring about problem if you don't understand. That's why sometimes when you understand, if you have love, virtue, and understanding, you will be at peace. That's why during the Buddha's time they ask, what is the highest protection? So if you're gullible, you get into trouble, you know why? You go and ask the what, Lama Lo and all those things. Oh, okay, I chant for you, I do this for you. You want a bigger package? This is the price. You want a smaller one? This is the price. You want 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 7 days, okay? You go and pay through your nose. But if you are a Buddhist, you understand. The Buddha said virtue is your highest protection. When you have virtue, kindness, goodness, that's why you will remember them. You will have gratitude towards them. You will thank them for what they have done for you. Then being relative, there is affinity, you will know what to do to them. You will help them to make offering in their name, transfer merits to them, and wish them have better life in whatever realm of existence they may be. And all these are from your sincere mind, your virtuous mind, your cultivation, your understanding. That's why it's very powerful, and it has its true effect. Then the Buddha said, in return, these petas, thus remembered and satisfied, will eagerly wish for the well-being of their living relative out of gratitude towards what they have done for them. That's why those who have ancestor tablet and you do your duty, talk to them, have gratitude towards them, pay respect, make offering during certain time of the month, auspicious occasion, they will remember you, they will protect you. That's why a lot of people say feng shui, feng shui. This one no need feng shui, ancestor tablet and the feng shui you do, how beautiful, also not much use. But it is not the feng shui that decide your life. You know what decide your life? What decide your life? Your karma. That's why take care of your karma. Means train your mind to be heedful, keep your precept, cultivate wholesomeness, noble eightfold path, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right. And these are the things that makes your life beautiful, so that you don't have negativity of thought, negativity of action and speech. Then your bad karma will not come back and haunt you. Then you will have all the good mindset. That's why virtue protect. This is the meaning. Then the Buddha someone go on. For in that petarine, there is never plowing here, nor any cattle herding found, nor merchandising just the same, nor bartering for coins of gold. The spirit of departed kings live there on the merits transferred to them. Only merits. Spiritual merits, nothing else. That's why miserable down there. Means you've got no chance of having a proper life, not to say good life, no proper life, because you cannot earn money. Like in this society, you cannot earn money. You cannot do business, you cannot become a farmer to plow or do all those things. How are you going to survive in this world? Everything needs merits, money. So you have to depend on your relative, you know. If you are unkind to them in the past, you know what they will do. Especially mother-in-law. She treat me like that. You want me to make offering to him. Choy little ngong. But then, when you do that, they also very angry at you. So now, They will think what, no? Mo tai, mo sai, is it? They are your elders, no? You're supposed to respect them, no? So to them is, what's wrong with my authority? Well, I have the right, you know, I am your mother-in-law. So a lot of this, because they are also deluded, they don't understand, that's why they think that way. So accept them for what they are and have wholesomeness of mind to wish them well, despite what they have done to you, because out of ignorance they do it, out of delusion and heedlessness. If they don't have that, they will not do that. And they will reap what they sow, because in future you don't have to take revenge. They will meet the mother-in-law that is more fierce, and they will become the victim. Kena back out cow. So knowing this, you will also know if your mother-in-law treat you like that. I mean, in the past, you have been a very, very bad mother-in-law. Understand? You reap what you sow. So you cannot blame anybody for what happened to your life. If you neglect your duty as parent, you don't take care of your parents, provide for them. In future, when you come, your parents will also neglect you, will not provide for you. Then you don't go and like get angry. Why everybody's parents give them good education, they can go overseas, they can drive nice car, they can have beautiful houses and all that. Why I cannot? Well, in the past, when you were a parent, you neglect your duty. You drink, you gamble, you neglect your responsibility, your duty, and you make a mess out of your family unit. And through your neglect, this is what you do to them. Karma, come, you reap what you sow. In future, you will be born into a family where your parents also do that back to you. That's why I don't blame. Karma is very fair. So all this the Buddha explained very clearly, he said. Then he said, he gave to me, he worked for me, he was my kin, friend, intimate. Gift, then for departed one, recalling what they used to do towards you, will please them, will make them very happy. And I thought, this is what you must do. Then the Buddha said, no amount of sorrow, lamentation, or weeping, nor any kind of mourning will help the departed relatives or loved ones whose kin remain, acting thus foolish and unhelpful to them. So this is not the way to act, even burning all the paper house or something. But when this offering is given to those members of the spiritual cultivator, holy order, the triple gem, then it can serve them long in future and at once as well. That's why immediately during the Buddha's time, King Bimbisara, when he idang minya tinangho to all the departed relatives, they transform. Because it was a dana given to the Buddha. Then here it is mentioned also, by offering alms to the holy order, means the enlightened being, in memory of the departed ones, the true path of action, born of wisdom, for relative has thus been done and shown, and how high an honor to departed one is done, and how the holy order can be given, sustained as well, means there is this symbiosis. That's why when you make offering to the holy order, the Sangha or the cultivators, then in return you receive your blessings, your wholesomeness, your merits and all those things. So there is a good synergy. So this can be given, the holy order can be given sustained as well. And how great a field of merits can be stored away by you. So this is the Therukuda Sutta, and it's very clear what you must do. That's why you must recall what they have done for you as your parent. Appreciate, even as your mother-in-law. They try their best to transmit or impart to you their skill, their cooking skill. Of course, not their nagging skill. Their experiences. Especially how to look after your children. They are very experienced, I tell you, in time of trouble. You look for them, they know what to do. They say nothing one. They used to tell my wife, don't worry. Yeah, you go Chinese medicine, medical shop, buy something, come back, feed them. Or the ling yong. Yong mo mo mo, then drink. Got him, the fever all gone. Then sometimes fear, children have fear. They go and buy the checkout one. I saw it. My mother did all this. Yeah, she got 9 children. He very expert. That's why my wife appreciate a lot. He really very skillful. Then he always warn my wife. He said, "Don't play with them." He said. He said, "When they sleep, you sleep." He said. If they sleep, you go and do your thing. Then when they wake up, you play with them. At night, you cannot sleep. He said, because they don't want to sleep. They are too. They already sleep in the day. And I said, at night, you crazy already. He said, because you tomorrow go to work. And this guy down there, one moment cry because hungry. Then one moment because the napkin wet or what, cry some more. Then one night go to feed how many times, you don't know. Then if morning, afternoon, you think they sleep, you can do your work. Then enough sleep at night, wide awake, play with you. You cannot sleep. I tell you, that is like Then the best is when you have the second one. This one cry, after this one stop, that one start. Then after that one stop, both also start. I remember that month when my second child was born, my wife called me. I said, "I cannot take it anymore. You better come and help." See, all this are what life is all about. That's why when you are sensitive, when you understand, you will know how to play your role. So have goodness, have kindness. Do not violate this nature's law of karma. Have gratitude. Be filled with piety. Develop more and more respect and express your love, your what they call philopiety, your gratitude towards them. Thank them profusely and make them happy, peaceful. They feel that they are loved and what they have done and sacrificed for you is worth it. Because the greatest joy that a parent can have is to see their children. Walking the right way, doing the right thing, able to support themselves, and able to express their gratitude towards them, appreciate what they have done for them. That is more than enough. They will really, really say, "This is my happiest moment in life." But when you neglect them, I tell you, you make them miserable. They sacrifice so much and do all these things for you, and yet you never appreciate what they have done, and you turn around and do all those things to them. You think you have very great condition to do that. In future, karma hit back, you become the parent that have this type of child that do back to you. Then only you realize, "I shouldn't have done that to my parent in the past." Then when you really do your duty well, in future, you have parents that care for you, love for you, provide for you, and do everything for you. This is what karma is all about, not what they tell you. What they tell you one is different. They say, you chao sim kwa, you got miserable death. Not like that one. Now you kill, cause harm, then maybe you will have that type of death. But chao sim kwa means other people tell him come back to you, and they all simply link the karma on. They say, "You do this, you will become like that. You do that, you will." No, you do this, you become victim. In the future, people do back to you, and that is the real karma. That's how karma works. When there is condition, it will come back to you. You become the victim. That's why drug addict, you think why they become drug addict? Because in the past they push drug, that time they make people miserable, they don't know, understand? That's why this life come back, how you become drug addict? You don't blame people for pushing drug to you, because last time when you push to people, you never say that. So all this is what nature's law is about. That's why when you understand this, you will never violate this. Next Tuesday I will teach you how to overcome all this coming obstruction. How to break them, how to ask for forgiveness and determine not to repeat all this. Then how to reverse all this to understanding, to your cultivation, your virtue, your wholesomeness, your blessing. and your whatever kindness and goodness. Okay, repeat that end. Oh, sorry, 10:05. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata Chirbumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Kasahasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu suhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu suhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu suhita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, you invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha hito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Okay, another announcement. Tomorrow, Friday, is a talk in Klang. So who will be doing the recording? Yes, we are not around. Oh, you will come. Thank you. So those who want to attend is at Tiratana NBC Center. So the topic is very interesting. Understanding the three characteristics of nature, anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta, and the significance of it in cultivation. Okay, so this is to share with you some of the important teaching. So it will be very useful for cultivator to develop the understanding. Okay.
Beautiful house to listen and learn the Buddha Dharma.
Small announcement. Because we come to a Tercer class developed Xi'an House for almost quite a couple of years now, so Brother Chiu asked me to propose that from the Kalimita funds, we are proposing to reimburse the electricity and water bill for about $200 for every 3 months. That's one. And the second thing is that we are also proposing, of course with the permission of Brother Xi'an, that we would like to also get an aircon, another aircon of 1.5 horsepower. 2 horsepower, okay.
2 horsepower better.
2 horsepower.
Yeah.
So that will also come from the Kalimita funds, simply because so that everybody can partake.
Yeah, get to partake in this wholesomeness. Yeah. Then at the same time, you all can rejoice in all this wholesomeness. Then you express your gratitude towards Mipong Xi'an and family for allowing us to use this place for so many years. It's coming to 7 years, I think. Or 7+ years, I think. Then the other thing is also, when we make this offering back, they can also use this to offer back to Kalimita Fund or do whatever they want with this money. So technically, like, the money didn't move, but wholesomeness has moved tremendously. So when you know how to do things, it will benefit many people. That's why you must have understanding, wisdom, kindness, generosity, goodness. Then a lot of wholesome things can manifest. So likewise, in your family unit, it's the same. You think you express your gratitude and every month you pay your parents. They will use it for your household and so on. Then in return, you get merits. Then they get merits by using the money for the household and all things. So instead of complaining, why I'm the only one working, why I'm the only one supporting the family, you do all this, you become negative in your thought, you have no merit at all, understand? Because you give unwillingly, understand? With unhappiness, the evil roots are there. But when you have gratitude and joy and you give with understanding and wisdom, the merit is enhanced many, many times. Because it is through your gratitude, understanding towards them, you make offering. So this simple Dhamma can be applied to daily life. Even in organization, in office and all those things, it's the same. It's not you help me, I help you, that one different. That one is based on motive. This one is, I sincerely help you, then you use this to help others. That's not, so there is synergy, like you help the monks by making offering to them because you know they are worthy of respect, worthy of offering, worthy of hospitality and shelter. So when you express that, you give it to them, you receive a lot of merit. Then in return, they give you blessing, they give you dhamma. You receive spiritual wealth, spiritual understanding, leading to peacefulness of mind, leading to happiness, leading to joy. That's why precept is a source of spiritual happiness. Precept or virtue is a source of spiritual joy, spiritual wealth. So all this will come when you understand. Okay? Yes. Okay. Never mind, just donate to Kalimita Fund. Kalimita Fund. Just say class Kalimita Fund. Sadhu. That's why when you have this Dhamma, you will know what to do. I rejoice with what Ingvi has come out with. This is how we express our gratitude. Understand? We must have gratitude towards nature, towards our parents, towards people who have helped us, shown their generosity, shown their wholesomeness, and so willingly allow us to use their whole house for the weekly sharing. it's not easy, you know. Luckily, they got only one daughter. If they got a few children, how? Every week, they cannot hold activity on Thursday. But most of the family with Dhamma, their children understand. Like my children, they understand. They have never say anything about all the classes I held at the house. In fact, they rejoice. And they always say, Daddy, Mommy, as long as you are happy, we are happy too. And my daughter wrote me a very good happy birthday message. That was 2 years ago, I think 2014. You know what she wrote? No, very simple. Daddy, thank you so much. Because of you, I know how to live life. I am very happy. I am very peaceful. Simple. That's what you must have. So that your children love you, appreciate what you have done for them. No amount of wealth and money you give to them can make them so happy. It's the understanding that they receive that they can know how to live life. And they understand life so clearly. That's why they are so happy. And family, you need to have that type of harmony, understanding and love is very rare. That's why it's one of your virtue. You can maintain good family unit. Family unit with a lot of harmony, a lot of understanding and love, good relationship. Everything is very sincere, very open, and helping each other, supporting each other, all towards the family unit. Sadhu. That's why Dhamma can be applied to the whole of life, and you understand. You must have goodness, kindness, and understanding.